With full hearts, we shall continue our services for a few moments by reading a short portion of God's Word that is found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. Verses 34 and 35, we read these words in Jesus' name. And he said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Amen. I thought that it was quite interesting that our brother started the sermon, the last sermon, with a reflection on who he is. And it brought to mind a discussion that took place probably a year or 2 year, a year and a half past, when I made a mission trip with a certain brother to Ecuador. The discussion had nothing to do with the trip to Ecuador, but it happened that I was able to relate some of the inner thoughts and questions that had come to my mind. Because I had been contemplating my retirement from my work life, and that, of course, has come to pass just recently. But the question that seemed to be deep within my own heart had to be with what we could call our identity. That, who are we? And we pass through different stages of life. We are, of course, someone's son or someone's daughter. We have parents and grandparents. They have given us a name that they call us by and we are known by in this life. And we go to school and we will find professions and we are called by some other, we could say, title, or we are categorized. We are a carpenter. We are a housewife. We are a wife, a husband, a father, a grandfather. We are a doctor, maybe. And all of these things we are known by. But then when it comes to that stage of life where we head into our retirement years or our status changes somehow, then it can cause distress. That, who are we? If we were married and our spouse died, we are no longer a husband or a wife, but we are a single person again. Or if we were a professional, a doctor or engineer, and now we have retired, we are no longer called rightfully by that title. So our identity changes. And even as fathers who have worked many years, we were once the breadwinner. We went out and earned a wage and paid for the cost of living. But again, that changes. So these kind of questions went through my mind in the last year and a half. And being a somewhat scientific person, I went to many of the senior brothers and sisters and asked them that, what does it mean to be a retiree? What do you do? What is your daily activities and so forth? And so I tried to define what it all meant. But one of the thoughts that came to mind was related to what the brother had keyed off on, is that all of these earthly identities change. They're kind of like, we could say, layers on a onion or maybe some other fruit that are peeled away and peeled away. And finally, we get to what is the core of our existence? Who are we? And for the child of God, we have that blessed name of simply that we are the children of God. We are, if nothing else, if all things are taken away or all things go by the wayside, we are still a child of God. That is the central and most important matter in our life. We might be single, might never have married, and as I said, many other things can change. But that is the one thing that stays constant as long as we are faithful unto Him who has called us. And that we live by faith and to keep a good conscience. That is the one name or title, if we wanted to call it that, that makes a difference. When we pass away from this life and we could say our obituary is written, for us, the children of God, the most important thing is that such and such a one lived by faith, died, and we have a testimony of him or her that she was heaven acceptable. Our text that we read is one that I don't believe that I have ever used before, but in these internal struggles that I had to try and define who I would be as life goes on, I related to a brother in faith that you would certainly all know if I gave his name, but I won't give his name. I asked him that, how do you define your life now? And he says that, I see that as a father and as a grandfather, that my mission in life is especially now that I would help my children and I would help my grandchildren remain in faith. And I thought that that is a very good mission. That is a mission that we should adopt as retirees, as people who are leaving the work life, that now we have more time than we had before to devote to supporting our children and grandchildren. So it's like our text related, the words of Jesus. What we didn't read was that the disciples were concerned was there going to be anything to eat, or they were hungry, and he used that occasion to say that I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And then they questioned amongst themselves that did somebody bring him something to eat? And then he explained using the verses that we read that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So, and he pictured it further that say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white already with harvest. I think that when we think about gospel work, that's easier somehow to think that it's we do gospel work when we go on a foreign mission trip. And many of the brothers here, including myself, have had that privilege where we go and proclaim the Word of God to people in distant nations and places. And it certainly is gospel work. But we do have here in our midst, right here in the services today and wherever the people of God are congregated and gathered, we have a gospel work opportunity with our own families, with our own local congregations to support each other as we make this journey through life. Even those of us that are having free time, so to speak, after many years, we can help those younger couples. We can help our own children who struggle with the matters of child rearing, with the everyday cares of life. That is something that is close and so easy to overlook. But it is a duty and a mission that we can have. Our brother just mentioned that part of the scripture where the parents brought their children to Jesus to be blessed of them. And that same verse and same part of scripture was on my mind, so I was happy that he mentioned it, and I thought that it must have a special purpose for us today. But we did study that part of scripture at the parents' camp last weekend, and there's so much even for that, or so much included in that, that we as parents would find strength, that we would find that earnestness of the Spirit within our own hearts to make sure that our children get to the services, get the Bible classes and camps, because that is where the Lord Jesus can be found also. That is there where His blessing hands are and where He draws close unto us with His Spirit. But we know that when those parents brought their children to Jesus, if we looked at that real closely, we could ask this kind of question, that why did they do so? And we'd have to conclude that they believed that Jesus could bring a blessing to their children. And if it is important to us as parents and grandparents to be here as living members of God's kingdom, if we have this hope of eternal life in our heart, then it automatically becomes shown at home that we want that blessing to be for our children too, even though we cannot give faith to our children. But it kind of starts with us as parents, even though God has many ways blessed those that have not come from believing homes and called them to faith and kept them in faith. But I think there is that need for us as parents even to look at our own families, that there is a harvest field there white and ready to be harvested right in our homes. And that is our mission and purpose. It is not the everyday cares of life, even though they are there. Just the maintenance of the house and the practical things take a lot of time. But it's good for us to remember that there's a greater thing that takes place in the Christian home when mothers and fathers are able to gather with their children to discuss the Word of God, or by example to teach them. We sometimes, when we've had the privilege to work at camps, and we talk about that very central matter of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, must say that we're taken back at times. Some of the children come to camp and they don't seem like they're used to hearing the gospel. That's how they care for matters. That's not widespread, but it is something that can be startling. So it kind of brings us in that same full circle, that we, as parents, we grandparents, we do teach by example, both by what we do and we don't do, and how important it is that our children would know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for us too. If we have erred, if we speak crossly, or we become involved in heated discussions, and our children see it, then it is important that as wide as the offense, so is the correction, which means that we need to make known to our children too that mother and father have erred, but we forgave each other with the power of the gospel. So it's that kind of simple example that is needed. So, dear parents, and I want to say grandparents too, because certainly we are, but we have this blessed duty to continue to support our children and grandchildren, and if you have great grandchildren, plus one another in the congregation with whatever means that we can support, both the temporal ways and with the power of the gospel. That is how we can together make this journey towards the homeland shore. It comes to mind, and maybe with some reluctance to relate it, but it is somewhat instructive. We ourselves, as I've mentioned, I think during the course of the week, and that we have some of our children that are not believing, but they still have that view of God's kingdom, that they understand where God's kingdom is, and they understand that they are not in God's kingdom. But yet they have taught their own children, our grandchildren, to preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins to each other. And it is, in a way, it is a bittersweet thing. It touches us greatly and gives us hope that our grandchildren that have not believing parents would be able to stay attached to the kingdom of God through that simple core message of the gospel, that message of forgiveness. One of our daughters relates that her children have sometimes squabbled, and they have then come to her and said, "Well, I want to receive my sins forgiven." And she said that, "I can't do it. I'm not a believer." "But you are." And so those boys bless and forgive each other with the power of the gospel. And when they come to our house, they always want to leave with that same proclamation that we've talked about all weekend, that it kind of boils down to that essence, the core of the apple, the essence of the gospel, that power to believe, abundant grace work of the Lord Jesus. So there is power in the gospel. There is a lot of power, greater than the powers of this world. So that harvest is here, and we are encouraged even in this way. Look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe and ready to harvest. So that, dear brothers and sisters, is something that we need not or should not forget. I thought also of this matter of serving, and our brother mentioned that he has served in many ways this weekend, and certainly we have been served, and we wish to thank you all for doing that. We know it comes from love and from the heart of a child of God. But I oftentimes just think of the words of Luther, and he had such understanding that the greatest service that we can make to each other, that mankind can possibly do to another fellow man or womankind, is to preach the gospel to them. That's the highest service. And it often comes to mind. The fall services here required many workers and many people to be busy, and I know that it's oftentimes you can become lost in the serving. That how can what I do in a small way make any difference? Is it so important that I be there to do my shift turn, or however it may be? But we have to think about it in the bigger way, that all these things come together to serve that self-same thing, that the Word of God can be proclaimed, that we can have food, natural nourishment when we're here, we can sit and have heat, and things are arranged, but they're all little things that must take place, but they serve that one thing, that the gospel can be proclaimed to all of us. So do not tire, dear friends, in the work, and parents especially. The days are dark and the doubts can be heavy, but yet the work is the work of God, even in our homes as well as the congregations. So take power from the gospel as you continue, as you go back to your places of watching and your everyday life. That is the power by which we can make a journey. I wish to ask that on my last serving time here, that can you bless and forgive me for my many weak words and weak understandings. I wish to believe, and I wish each of you a safe journey to heaven. We may not meet here in this life again, as time and the will of God takes place, but may you have a safe journey towards that homeland shore. In Jesus' name, amen.